This is the one-stop FPL podcast. Hello and welcome back to another episode of One Stop FPL with me, your host, Andy Johnson. On today's episode, we're looking ahead to Game Week 11 and the FPL world has gone officially mad. We're considering selling Erling Haaland and tripling up on Wolves assets. Manchester United are on the precipice of being good again. And finally, no more blanks for Dominic Solanke. With the deadline fast approaching for Game Week 11, let's get into it. Right then, so Game Week 11 and the deadline is fast approaching. Unfortunately, I haven't had time to release this episode until Saturday morning, but thankfully we do have a little bit of extra time as there's no early kickoff. The deadline for Game Week 11 is Saturday the 9th of November at 1:30 p.m. UK time. As always, that's 90 minutes before the first ball is kicked of the game week, and that will be all of the 3 o'clock games. We've got Brentford facing Bournemouth, Palace facing Fulham, West Ham take on Everton, and Wolves face Southampton. And then later on, we've got Brighton versus Manchester City and Liverpool versus Aston Villa. Sunday has four fixtures with Man United hosting Leicester, Forest at home to Newcastle, Spurs hosting Ipswich, and Chelsea and Arsenal clash in the final game of the game week. Let's first turn our attentions to Erling Haaland because FPL managers are selling him by the bucket load. We've had almost 500,000 sales of Erling Haaland in this game week alone. And it's understandable, just the one return in the last five. It's not looking too great in Europe either after City's defeat in midweek. Erling Haaland had a penalty that he missed. Great opportunity for him to get back to his goal scoring ways. And it evaded him. So, not looking great for Haaland. And there's a big decision to make. Do you keep him or do you spread the funds elsewhere? Well, I can tell you that it is understandable that many FPL managers would go without him. Given that there are players like Chris Wood, who is less than half his price. 6.5 million is Chris Wood. And he has only blanked three times this season. Remarkable consistency. He's playing like prime Brazilian Ronaldo at the moment. And so you can understand why you would perhaps, you know, downgrade, if it is even a downgrade at the moment, to a Chris Wood up front and use the funds to really bolster your midfield and defence. Now, that's mainly because most of the forwards that are doing the goal scoring at the moment are the mid-priced and lower mid-priced strikers. So not just Chris Wood, but also we've had good seasons so far from Raul Jimenez, Mateus Cunha, even Strand Larsen getting in the act in game week 10. So there's been lots and lots of, and of course, Danny Welbeck, of course. So there's been lots and lots of options elsewhere at much more affordable price points. And that's enabled managers to go heavy in midfield with some big hitters, the likes of Saka, Palmer, Salah, all delivering really good returns. So do you do it? Well, I can understand why you would. At the moment, as a Salah and Haaland owner, I don't feel quite as compelled to sell Haaland at the moment. My take on it is that if I didn't have Salah, who I think is still the best of the midfield options, especially with the fixtures for Liverpool from game week 12 onwards. In fact, actually game week 11, because they're at home to a Villa side that looked really, really disappointing defensively in the second half against Spurs in game week 10. And I certainly think that this week, with Liverpool playing at Anfield, that is a match that could be really heavily targeted by FPL managers. So I am certainly seeing Salah as the most preferable of the premium midfielders to target if you were to sell Haaland, closely followed by Cole Palmer. That, of course, is dependent on his fitness, which we'll come to in a second. And then, of course, Saka, who has been dependable for the last year or two, as a premium midfield option. But because I've already got Salah in my side, I quite like the idea of just holding on to Haaland whilst many look to sell him, because it's almost becoming close to a differential option up front, Haaland, if the rate of sales continue. He's currently down at around 65% owned, which is a huge drop off over the last few weeks. At one point, he was around 90% owned, despite his astonishingly high price point. So clearly people starting to realise that the money could potentially be better spent elsewhere. That being said, as I say, at the moment, I'm tempted to keep him. But that is chiefly because I've already got Salah. Now, I could look to bolster up my midfield even further and look to bring in the likes of Saka and Palmer. But I don't feel compelled to do it this week. And the main reason is that Saka and Palmer actually face each other in game week 11, with Chelsea facing Arsenal. So it's not an ideal week to sell Haaland to bring in one of those two. I also think that if you can just get through this game week where City are away at Brighton, where Brighton you would expect to try and have a go and try and play some football at home and attack that Manchester City defence, which has occasionally been leaky. And certainly in midweek in the Champions League, they were very, very ragged at the back. But while, of course, that will entice Brighton to have a go, that will also, of course, leave spaces. And they do play with a very, very high line. It'll be interesting to see which team Pep selects for that game. Will Matheus Nunes keep his place on that left wing? Doku was back and fit, and I think it could be a brilliant game for Doku to play in to expose that high line with his pace getting in behind. But we'll have to wait and see on what Pep Roulette produces for us. Now, turning our attentions to another striker who has been struggling of late, and that is Dominic Solanke. After three consecutive blanks and, quite frankly, not looking anywhere close to getting a return, Dominic Solanke has put that drought to bed with a fantastic performance against Aston Villa. Two goals and an assist to his name. 16-point return for Dominic Solanke. And all of a sudden, we've gone from a player in crisis to potential captain in game week 11, because Spurs are at home to an Ipswich side that is very, very vulnerable at the back. And Spurs are the number one attacking team in the Premier League at the moment, scoring goals for fun, creating lots of opportunities. And it's starting to look like that little three-game spell that Solanke went through, which panicked all of us owners, that was probably now more likely to be an anomaly than anything that we'll see too much more of going forward. Back to full-out attacking football, high energy, lots of shots, lots of chances from Spurs. And Solanke, thankfully, was on target twice and also turning creator as well with one assist. So I would actually say that this week, Solanke is probably the number one replacement option I would recommend for Erling Haaland if you want to make that switch. Still a huge, huge saving. Solanke, I believe, is currently priced at 7.6. 7.7 he is. So a reasonable price point for a guy who seems to be back in form and has Ipswich at home this week. And that is just before the international break. And actually, the fixtures aren't too bad when everyone comes back from that international break. Spurs have got City away immediately after it, which, of course, won't be an easy fixture. But Manchester City have not been watertight at the back. And Spurs have actually got a pretty good record in recent years against Manchester City. And having just managed to get a win over them in the League Cup, Tottenham will go to the Etihad with confidence that they can certainly cause some trouble for that Manchester City defence. So perhaps a good one for attacking returns for both sides in that fixture. But after that, Spurs have got Fulham at home, Bournemouth away, Chelsea at home, Southampton away. So not too bad fixtures. definitely defences that can be got at in those next six game weeks for Tottenham. So I like Dominic Solanke as my number one recommendation to replace Erling Haaland if you're looking to sell the Norwegian striker. Other than that, obviously, the usual suspects are still there to tempt us. If you want to go down the Wolves route, we've got Cunha and Strand Larsen both at home this week to Southampton. And the fixtures for Wolves are fantastic. Top of the fixture ticker on Fantasy Football Hub. The next six for Wolves, they've got Southampton at home, Fulham away, Bournemouth at home, Everton away, West Ham away and Ipswich at home. And I can't see any of those sides that I've just listed keeping a clean sheet against Wolves. Wolves have not been particularly fortuitous when it comes to results, but they are still scoring goals and they do look dangerous going forward. Both Cunha and Strand Larsen getting goals and assists this season. Strand Larsen is the cheaper option, $1 million to be saved if you want to go with him. But for the extra million in going for Cunha, you get a guy on penalties as well. And his expected goal involvement is slightly higher than Strand Larsen's. And that's down to the fact that playing out on the left means that Cunha has the increased likelihood of assists as well. His expected assists are much higher than Strand Larsen, who is playing centrally and just basically there to get on the end of things. And doing it very effectively as well, may I add. So, Wolves players should definitely be in our thoughts at the moment as a result of those fixtures. So, I actually don't see anything wrong with doubling up on that Wolves attack and going with both Cunha and Strand Larsen because they've both got really good underlying data. So I know sometimes it's not ideal to have all of your eggs in one basket, but I think you can spread that money. I think if you had Cunha, Strand Larsen and Wood, that's three really affordable striking options. Even if you went Cunha, Strand Larsen and Solanke, you've still got plenty of funds left over to really bolster your midfield, as I mentioned earlier. But it's not just the Wolves attack we need to be considering, because Ryan Aitnori, the defender at Wolves, is priced at 4.7 million. He was 4.4 just a couple of weeks ago. And many managers are cottoning on to him and the attacking threat that he offers. He's playing out of position, playing essentially as a winger and getting forward, and he's getting attacking returns. And with those fixtures, I think he's a great, great option. There is also a differential striker that catches my eye very slightly, and that is Rasmus Højlund at Manchester United. Now, the reason I say Højlund is that there has been a slight upturn in at least mood and a little bit of improved form for Manchester United. A reasonable draw for them against a Chelsea side that have been far outperforming them so far this season. And I think that's no coincidence seeing Erik ten Hag go. Ruud van Nistelrooy in charge for the moment. They've got Leicester this week. And I quite fancy Manchester United to carry on that reaction. We saw immediately that huge 5-2 victory in the League Cup against them. So I can see goals again in this league fixture. And Højlund could be a nice little differential option to have a little plump at for this week. And it doesn't have to be just one week, because after the international break, Manchester United have got Ipswich and then Everton. And that will be when Ruben Amorim will take charge as well. So we could see a little bump in form from them in the short term. And if you fancy having a little bit of a gamble and, you know, a punt on a differential striker, then I don't think it's a terrible idea to go with Rasmus Højlund. I also think that the midfield options at Manchester United, for the exact same reasons, are quite appealing. You've got, obviously, Bruno Fernandes, a slightly more expensive option in midfield. But there is, of course, always Garnacho and even maybe Amad Diallo as well. It'll be interesting to see what selection is made there. Diallo scoring an absolute wonder goal in midweek in the Europa League for Manchester United. Interesting to see if he has done enough to earn a starting place back in that Manchester United 11. While I was mentioning fixtures and in particular Wolves, just below them in the fixture ticker, we've also got Bournemouth. Now, they don't really have a striking option that is particularly appealing. Evan Nilsson, I don't think, has done enough to convince FPL managers that he is a viable option just yet. But the main man for Bournemouth is, of course, Semenyo, who continued his fantastic form despite that tricky fixture against Manchester City. Another goal for him. And I would not put it past him to continue that form with a reasonable run of fixtures over the next few weeks. As I mentioned before, they are second in the fixture ticker, just below Wolves. This week, they're away to Brentford, who incredibly were so defensive in that game on Monday Night Football against Fulham at the end of game week 10. I think they faced over 40 shots in one game. Incredible scene. So Brentford not looking too solid at the back at the moment. Bournemouth have Brentford this week. Then after the international break, they've got Brighton at home, Wolves away, Spurs at home, Ipswich away and West Ham at home. So definitely sides there that are prone to conceding goals. And Semenya is definitely the man that we, I think, can trust the most in that Bournemouth side to get us returns. So I don't mind Semenya at Bournemouth this week as a transfer in. Of course, he would certainly be a budget option in midfield. Not too expensive. I think he's 5.6. So still very, very affordable and perhaps not even a player that we would need to sell Haaland to get to. And also towards the top of the fixture ticker, in third place, we have Arsenal. Now, it might not seem too compelling a fixture schedule with Chelsea away in game week 11, but it does get a little kinder for Arsenal after the international break with Forest at home, West Ham away, United at home, Fulham away and Everton at home. And I actually think that if you have gone this long with that double Arsenal defence and it's been letting you down week in, week out, fear not, because I think these fixtures do offer us a little more encouragement. I can certainly see clean sheets potentially after the international break against the likes of Forest at home, West Ham away, maybe Fulham away and certainly Everton at home. Those are fixtures where I think Arsenal can definitely get clean sheets. That is exactly why we were compelled to bring in the Arsenal defensive assets earlier this season. And they've let us down so far, but they're surely going to get back to their defensive solidity that we know and expect from them. So hold out. I know Chelsea away this week is tempting to maybe drop one of those assets. They've been letting you down and now you've got a tricky fixture. It's a common time to sell one of those kinds of assets. My advice would be just hold on to them because it's been a bad run, but we've come this far. I think we've got to stick it out now and we've got to back our boys to start getting some clean sheets after that international break. And who knows, maybe they might be able to keep that Chelsea side out, even at Stamford Bridge. That could be very dependent on the availability of Cole Palmer. Now, as I mentioned earlier, he is a doubt. Picked up a knock in last week's fixture. And unfortunately, we haven't had any clarity from Maresca in the press conference because he didn't speak to anyone on Friday. And with Chelsea not playing until Sunday, we won't hear from him until after the deadline. So we're not going to get much information. If you don't have Cole Palmer, I wouldn't be looking to bring him in this week. Too much of a risk. If you do have him, I think you play him and know that the importance to that Chelsea side that he is means if there's any doubt, I can't see Maresca playing him. The fact that Chelsea decided to not register him in European competition would suggest they are solely prioritising his minutes in the Premier League and that he is crucial to their Premier League campaign this season. So I don't think they'll risk him if he's at all a doubt. So I think if you've got Cole Palmer, you play him knowing full well that he's probably unlikely to appear off the bench and that your first sub that will be auto-subbed in from him needs to be a good option off your bench. So just bear that in mind if you are a Cole Palmer owner this game week. Right then, let's talk captaincy now, because there are several options in game week 11, especially given the form of certain Norwegian strikers. I think if you are a Haaland owner and you don't have Mo Salah, I can understand why you'd still be tempted to captain Haaland this week. Away at Brighton, a Brighton side that have been inconsistent defensively, although have started to look a little bit more impressive in the last couple of weeks. That being said, Haaland is still a reasonable choice. And, you know, he still wouldn't surprise us if he goes and bangs in a couple of goals in game week 11, despite the form at the moment. But I also wouldn't be surprised if he blanked again. So he's certainly not a clear-cut option, especially when we've got Mo Salah at home to Aston Villa. So Salah returned in game week 10. Aston Villa conceded 4 in game week 10. And that, I reckon, will be a recipe for the most popular captaincy pick this week. But he is definitely not going to be the only option managers consider, because I think Dominic Solanke is a very tempting option as well. Off the back of a fantastic performance, especially in that second half against Aston Villa. 2 goals. The stats look fantastic for Spurs as the most attacking and goal-scoring side in the Premier League at the moment. And they face Ipswich at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. So a very appealing fixture and a very tempting captaincy option. I still think it'll be quite a strong differential captaincy option. But maybe this is the game week to go for a differential captain. With many being tempted away from Erling Haaland, and many not necessarily having Salah because they might have Haaland and also Saka and Palmer, Solanke might be the way to go, because Saka and Palmer are facing one another and there are doubts over Palmer's fitness. So there are options. I don't mind Saka, especially seeing as now Odegaard is back from injury earlier than we expected. Great news for Arsenal and for FPL managers who have the Arsenal attack, because we know that with Odegaard in the side, they are a much stronger attacking side. And that's something that I do think has suffered in Arsenal's game in recent weeks while their captain has been absent. So interesting to see if Odegaard is fit to go straight back into the starting lineup. The data has always suggested that Saka is more likely to return when Odegaard is playing. They have a really good understanding, good link-up play between them, and one is often provider for the other. So certainly much more positive news for managers that have Arsenal assets. I still wouldn't be completely convinced by going with Saka as a captaincy option this week. I don't think he's a bad option, but I think there are better ones to pick this game week. Certainly, as I say, Salah and Solanke. But with so many captaincy options, I think we'll see it fairly spread out amongst FPL managers. And that means there is room for taking risk. So if you want to go differential, it's not just the likes of Solanke or Saka. I do think there are other fixtures here that we can target. So the first one I would say is Cunha or Strand Larsen at home against Southampton. That's a great fixture. Southampton have been incredibly leaky defensively with their very ambitious and expansive style of football, playing out from the back, and they have been punished many, many times for it. And even Bruno Fernandes at Manchester United has Leicester this week. So I think there are plenty of options if you feel like having a bit of a risk and you're a manager that likes to take a punt, then this is definitely the week to do it. My number one choice would probably be Solanke. I think that's the way I'm going to go. But I think the majority of managers will go Mo Salah. But there's plenty of options out there. None of the ones I've mentioned are bad. And this could be the week to roll the dice with the armband. Right then, let's finish off this episode, as always, with my likely team ahead of game week 11. Starting off at the back, I'm sticking with the double Arsenal defence, despite the tricky fixture. David Raya and Gabriel away at Chelsea. Then also partnering Gabriel at the back, I've got Trent Alexander-Arnold at home to Aston Villa and Robinson for Fulham, who is away at Crystal Palace. That makes up my back three, meaning Konsa away at Liverpool drops to the bench, as does Greaves, who is still injured for Ipswich. And then my midfield four at the moment is Mo Salah at home to Villa, Brennan Johnson for Spurs at home to Ipswich, Dwight McNeil for Everton away at West Ham, and I've still got Mateus Nunes for Manchester City away at Brighton. Now, he is, of course, at risk of losing his starting place with the likes of Doku and Grealish back available. Both of those players will be competition down that left-hand side for Nunes. And I don't think Nunes has done quite enough to convince Pep that he is the man to keep that starting spot out on the left-hand side. So he is at risk of rotation and could be back to bench appearances only. If I feel compelled to make a transfer this week, I've got two frees. One of them would be to sell Mateus Nunes and bring in someone else, but I don't have a lot of money in the bank, just 0.6 million. So if I was to sell Nunes, I'd only have 5.5, and that doesn't really get me a midfielder at that price point that is of interest to me. I'd be tempted by Semenya, but he's 5.6 and I can't quite afford him. So I'd have to use two free transfers to get him. But if I was going to do that and use both of my free transfers, one option I could look at is selling Trent Alexander-Arnold and going down to a Ryan Aitnori. So then I double up on my Wolves assets because I've already got Strand Larsen. And because I'm happy with Solanke and Haaland for this game week, I don't want to go down the double attack route like I mentioned earlier in the episode and get Cunha in. But Ryan Aitnori is a nice way into the attack. We know he's not going to get clean sheets, but he definitely does offer attacking returns. So I could replace Trent, who hasn't been getting those attacking returns, with a player significantly cheaper who will. Now, obviously, that is slightly offset by the fact that Trent does get the clean sheets and Ryan Aitnori most certainly does not. But what that would afford me to do is go back into Liverpool because I would suddenly have 7.8 million available to me when selling Nunes then. And I could get Luis Diaz, who is going to be playing regularly at the moment while Jota is still out. He's been in good form. Liverpool fixtures are pretty good. As I say, Villa this week. But after that, after the international break, they've got Southampton away. Couple of tricky ones after that with Manchester City at home and Newcastle away. But then it's Everton, Fulham, Spurs, Leicester, West Ham. That is a great run of leaky sides at the back. So I don't mind that double Liverpool attack. At all, actually. So I'm very, very tempted to use both free transfers. The only risk with doing that is that we then go into an international break where I don't have any extra free transfers to react to things like injuries from international fixtures. But I do want to significantly improve my rank and that might need risk taking. So one of those risks that I'm tempted to do is put the captain's armband on Dominic Solanke this week. Another one could be to use up both my free transfers, go back into the double Liverpool attack, and finally bring in Ryan Aitnori. So that's what I'm very, very tempted to do. I do think that Villa have attacking threats. And so if there's a week to sell a Liverpool defender, maybe it is this one. There's certainly the possibility that the likes of Watkins or Rodgers or even the super sub himself, John Duran, could be on the score sheet even at Anfield. So I'm very, very tempted by that double move. If I don't make the double move that I've said there with Trent and Nunes out and Aitnori and Diaz in, then I probably won't make any move at all. I'll roll and I'll go into the international break and into game week 12 after it with three free transfers and the ability to react to whatever the lay of the land is there. But that's what I'm looking at doing for this game week. So thank you very much to everyone for listening. Best of luck to you all ahead of game week 11. A reminder once again that the deadline is Saturday the 9th of November at 1:30 p.m. UK time, a little later than usual. But don't miss it. Best of luck to all of you chasing a green arrow. Thank you very much for listening, and I'll talk to you again soon.